Welcome to the Midnight Writers Podcast, helping authors become better writers.
Episode 21, Networking and Marketing. This is John.
This is Lena.
This is Ben.
And we have with us today special guest Lou J. Berger.
Hi, I'm Lou J. Berger.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
So why Lou J. Berger?
That's a good question. There is another writer whose name is Lou Berger. And for a long time he was the head writer for Sesame Street. And I don't want my work to be confused with his because he's a much better writer than I am.
Well, there you go.
I'm afraid of a cease and desist order from lawyers. Please stop using my name.
Yeah. Just don't.
Change your name, please.
Yeah. Just don't be trying to write Sesame Street in his name.
No, I shall not. Yeah. No Sesame Street.
Anyway, so networking and marketing. You said you have a past in this subject, so.
I have lived most of my life making a living in sales. And so being a good salesperson requires you to have a network of qualified individuals, people who can buy what you're selling. It depends on how esoteric that product might be or service. So I've learned a long time ago to assemble as many like-minded people around me that I can so that when I have a product worth promoting, I've got a viable audience who can either purchase that or spread the word. So that's the genesis for why I network on Facebook, mostly because I want to build an audience of people who can either purchase whatever I produce directly or recommend it to those that they know.
Cool. I think that's something we all need as authors. Mm-hmm. So.
I think so. Mm-hmm. So I have, at the moment, 1,400 and change people on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And I think the vast majority of them are fellow authors. And most authors write as a hobby. They don't make a living at it. Mm-hmm. So for me to promote my works to my fellow authors is silly. Mostly silly, 80% silly and 20% practical. The practical aspect comes from having people who do what I do and understand the struggle that authors undergo, to have them understand and give me feedback on what I'm doing. You know, there's a wide spectrum of experience out there. And in those 1,400 people, I've got professional authors who've been doing it for years and years and make six figures a year doing it. Mm. And then a whole bunch of other folks like me who have, you know, made $1,000 in writing or less in their whole careers. So the spectrum is wide, but everyone's got something to teach me. That's why I've created the Like-Minded Authors in Pursuit of Publication Facebook group. And that's got about 100 people. And those are people who are actively writing and actively looking to promote their own works. But we don't allow promotion in that group. How ironic.
Yeah, that's been an interesting group to be a part of.
It's supposed to be mentoring. It's supposed to be a teaching group. It's a group of folks who share with one another something that works. And we have an alternative group called the Author's Rooftop, which is exclusively set aside for those members of like-minded that are interested in promoting their own works. And that was the brainchild of Quincy Allen, because I told him, I don't want promotion. And he says, but Lou, you're being unreasonable. And I stamp my foot. I do not want promotion. He says, well, what if we made another group? And that's what we ended up doing.
Mm. I think it works well because I'm in a few other groups that you're not actually in. Yes. And, there's just, it's meant to be more of sharing and talking about the mm-hmm. subject and being an author, but it becomes a lot of, hey, this book's on sale today and buy my book. And so there's actually, I see a reason for that.
It clogs the feed. So if you have five things to read from like-minded, and you're an author in pursuit of publication, like the title states, and you four of those five are, hey, buy my book with money you don't have, you'll be turned off from that group. Mm-hmm. It's like listening to NPR when they're about to tell you something really interesting and they break in with a pledge drive. So yeah. That's my theory.
So why did you pick Facebook?
Well, at the time, Facebook was the first social media that I had used where I could interact with other people. And most of the reason I joined was to stay in touch with family. But then I realized that high school friends were there, and then coworkers, and then folks I'd met in real life that were just friends, and then authors. And when I began writing 9 years ago, almost 10, I realized the importance of having a network, for no other reason than to educate me, to learn, to have people who have been ahead of me and have made mistakes, to ask them questions and say, so what do you do in this circumstance, and how do you get this thing done, wherever this thing happens to be? And it's been very helpful. I like the like-minded group very, very much. I learn something every time I go in there. Facebook was the easiest, I believe, to use. Twitter, I still can't figure out Twitter. I don't know how Twitter works. And LinkedIn is really business-oriented.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have a website, too, and the website is fine, but it doesn't really generate a lot of traffic because I haven't really actively tried to market or promote myself through the website. I've only published short stories, and really I'm waiting for a novel to be finished and sold somewhere before I really start to promote the website.
Mm-hmm.
So what all do you do with the other networks then? I mean, do you use Instagram at all, or do you just pretty much focus on one to make that one really strong?
I focus mostly on Facebook. I do occasionally post Twitter things, mostly in response to somebody else.
Mm.
And if somebody asks, I send them to the website. That's it. I don't use Interest or Pinterest?
Pinterest.
Yeah. Pinterest or Instagram. Mm-hmm. I was going to say Pinstagram, but that sounds like a medical procedure. Yes. I'm not as up on the marketing as I probably should be, but then again, I'm not ready to push my name or brand out there yet. Mm-hmm. Not really. I'm still dabbling in short stories.
Right. So since you're saying you're kind of not pushing that right now, for other people who already have works out there. So, I mean, you have short stories. I mean, do you push those out and say, hey, I've got this short story somewhere, go check it out? Or
the website.
Okay, so the website.
I've got magazine covers and anthology covers,
Okay. Little
JPEGs, I think, on the website itself. And the title, and if you want to read this, click here, and it sends them to Amazon to buy that copy of the anthology or that issue of the magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And people can do that. I don't get a lot of feedback. I do occasionally post a blog posting on the website, the Lou J. Berger one, but I haven't in a while. Nothing really earth-shattering has happened.
Right.
Hey, I sold a short story.
Right. So then when you do get that novel out and you are ready to kind of go and start pushing it, do you have a plan for that?
I don't, and that's why I'm going to go to like-minded authors. You know? Hey, I've got a book. What do I do next?
Okay.
So I've heard of things like BookBub, and I've heard of Kindle Unlimited. Mm-hmm. Or is it Kindle Unlimited or Kindle Exclusive? Or
I think Kindle Unlimited sounds like it's a thing. Sounds familiar.
Kindle Unlimited is their subscription service for reading.
What's
Kindle Direct Publishing, KDP.
Is that it? Is that where it's like I'm exclusive with Kindle? It's not published anywhere else?
Yeah,
Kindle Select.
Kindle Select, yeah. So
yeah.
I've heard good things from people that have put novels out through Kindle Select because of the promotion and the fact that when anybody fires up their Kindle, there's a book right there on their screen during the warm-up that says, buy me. Swipe to log on, but click this and you can buy the book.
Mm-hmm.
And that sells thousands of copies from what I've heard. So we'll see.
I don't know. I was on Kindle Select for a while and did not garner me any sales. So
yeah, for short stories and anthologies, I've heard it's not as useful. And we started branching out, but that hasn't been very useful either. So
Right. Well, so, maybe a novel. Maybe a novel might. I don't know.
Well, I mean, mine were novels, and then still nothing, but yeah.
Oh, I could drop the J and have the change the title to Ernie Writes Science Fiction. Bert. Oscar the Grouch in Space.
But, like, just the letters of their names just off enough that it's Oscar, not copyright.
Oscar with a K.
Yeah, it's not copyrighted.
Oscar J.
Oscar J. Berger.
Okay, Oscar. So as a new author who's just getting started, maybe they've published something, maybe they haven't yet, how do you start building your platform? What do you start doing?
You don't. I know that sounds controversial, but you don't. Most authors, when they first start out and they haven't published, they're not writing professional work yet. And if you look at your career holistically and you recognize that one day I will be great, and you have to have confidence to get into being an author. You have to. So you say to yourself, one day I will be, not May. If it's May, forget it. Go raise weeds or something. So I will be great one day. And I recognize, because I've seen it everywhere else, that early stories are usually the poorest. Mm-hmm. So if you... I heard an analogy once about water in a bathtub. If you can imagine a bathtub with a line 4 or 5 inches above the surface of the water, And that's the minimum line for publication. Most people, when they first start writing, they're filling the bathtub from the bottom up, like mm-hmm. you do. And the little wavelets that come along, eventually, as you continue to write and send more out, get rejection after rejection after rejection, eventually a wavelet will touch that line and you'll make a sale. And it will be a real sale. It might be to a token payment only or a free copy of the anthology kind of sale. It might be a pro sale. But remember, it was just the tip of a wavelength of one of the waves. And then you can go 4 or 5 months, 6 months, a year, and not sell anything, even though you know lightning struck. It may not strike again for some time after that. But as you keep writing and you keep submitting out into the world and you don't promote yourself because you don't want people to remember you and your name with a shoddy product. So you promote the thing that sells, that one thing that sells, but nothing else. And then eventually, as you continue to fill the tub, the quality of your work continues to rise because the only way to get better at writing is to write more. Until finally, the troughs of your wavelets are above that line. Mm-hmm. And everything you write, you're selling at one place or another. Not always the same place, but at one place or another. And then you can count yourself as professional. And that's when you start promoting yourself. Mm-hmm. Professional authors today still write stories that do not get accepted at the first place they send it, or maybe the second or fifth. But they do usually get accepted somewhere else because they've achieved a certain minimum competence. So I would not promote early.
But you should get involved in networking.
Yes. You should get involved in networking for mentoring and for education and for learning. But if you want to expose a reader to your work, do you want it to be one of your first works? Or do you want it to be a work when you're comfortable, confident, and routinely selling? It's a personal choice. I know quite a few people who self-publish and promote the heck out of their work. And if they're good, they sell 100 copies of whatever that work is. That's if they're good. Mm-hmm. You know, Kevin Eikenberry, who also lives here in the Springs and I'm sure is well known to all y'all, has sold thousands of a copy of, I think, his first or second book already out there. Mm-hmm. He's a good writer. He's been writing for years. But it's really, he can promote now, you know, because he's shown the chops. And what he's got is good. And it's not going to be embarrassing. 10 years from now, he won't look back on it. Well, he will look back on it and go, oh, that was crap. I can't believe I published that. Mm-hmm. But it's still good enough that that's moving off the shelves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we had him on a few months ago.
Yeah.
He was actually our first author that we had. So
he's a good guy.
He's a good guy, yeah.
Yeah. Lots of good advice. No, that's a fantastic analogy. I've never considered it that way. But you get really excited of like, oh, hey, I've got this thing, this essentially your own little child. And you're like, I want everyone to love my child, but it's not ready early on. I think that's a good thing to remember.
Yeah. If Mike Resnick, who is prolific and who has been making six figures since 1982 as a writer, and some of that wasn't in science fiction. He likes to talk about the days when he wrote erotica. He doesn't tell me under what name. He said, I'll never let you know. But he did say, he did give me good advice. He says, always promote your stories to pro markets only. Hmm. And this is controversial. And I asked him why, because I'm thinking exposure is better than nothing. And he says, if it's not professional quality and they're not willing to pay you pro rates, do you really want it out there with your name on it? Hmm. And that's a hard pill to swallow. Mm-hmm. Because I really wanted, when I first started, I really wanted people to say, oh, I know you, you're that author guy. What I didn't want them, and I didn't think about it, was, oh, you're that author guy. That's not what I wanted.
Yeah, yeah.
So I rarely send things off to non-pro. But the Quincy Allen thing, that sounds like a lot of fun. The steampunk story. Yeah. I know it'll sell 30 copies to all the contributors.
Right.
And that'll be it. But that's fine. It's for my buddy, you know.
It also kind of depends on what your goal is as a writer. If you want to be a professional, then yeah, you need to do what you're saying is hold off until you've got professional work. But some people, I don't know, some of the ones we've seen submitted to Stories Try Anthology just like being in an anthology. They don't really care if they get
the and there's nothing wrong with that.
No, yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. And I'm not meaning, I absolutely don't mean to demean that.
No. Oh, no. I was just stating that so that people listening know
the difference. Who's that Lou J. Berger? He's a jerk. I don't like him. He's just told me I'm no good. No, I didn't. Mike Resnick did.
So send your complaints, too.
Care of.
Yes. Yes.
Or send them to Lou Berger.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yes. Yes. The head writer actually called him. Yeah, I'm embarrassed to admit this, especially on the air. So I thought, you know, I should reach out to him. Not because I'm arrogant, but because I'm arrogant. So I thought, he should know that there's another guy out there selling with his name. So I Googled his name, and I looked through all the Google links to see if there was a phone number in there somewhere. And there was. He owns a house in New York, and it had his phone number on it. So I called it up, and I got a gruff voice. Hello, who's this? And I said, is this Lou Berger, the writer? Yes, who am I speaking to? And I said, well, actually, my name is also Lou Berger, and I'm a writer. And he said, is this a crank? No, I should have done it in Bert and Ernie's voice.
Yeah, right. That would have been, he would like hung up immediately. Said,
right? Hey, Lou. Yeah. So I explained to him that I was a writer and that out of respect for him, I used the J with no period in the middle to differentiate. And he says, I've never heard of you. Which brought me right down to where I should have been. So we talked for about 5 minutes and I thanked him and he said he would look up the website and that was it. I hung up and I was all trembly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the guy. I grew up watching Sesame Street. The stories he wrote, I grew up watching those. And Cookie Monster, all that.
Man, yeah.
Awesome.
Very nice.
Okay, any last minute comments?
I want to say, do you have any just last minute advice or suggestions for new writers?
I would say the best thing to do is to get into a critique group. And the worst thing to do is to stay for too long in a critique group. Because they are like bed sheets. They're crisp and clean and wonderful when you first slide into them. And after several months, they start to smell funny.
Okay. Thank you.
It went off.
It did.
Perfect timing.
Which means it's time to wrap up. Yeah.
Anyway, thank you for listening to us and join us next week. Bye.
Thanks much.
Later.
Thank you for listening to the Midnight Writers Podcast. If you've enjoyed this content, sign up for our newsletter on our website, midnightwriterssociety.com, where you'll get a lot more great information. See you next Wednesday.